sing the chorus again? Through it all. I've had many tears and sorrows. I've had many tears and sorrows. I've had questions for tomorrow. Many times I didn't know right from wrong. But in every situation, God gave blessed consolation that my trials had only come to make me strong. Through it all, through it all, well, I've learned to trust in Jesus, and I've learned trust in God. Through it all, through it all, well, I've learned to trust and depend upon His Word. I've been a lot of places, and I've seen lot of faces, but there were times I dipped so all alone. But in those lonely hours, yes, those precious lonely hours, Jesus let me know that I was His home. Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus, and I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, through it all, well, I've learned to depend upon His Word. Let's sing the chorus again. Through it all, through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus, and I've learned to trust in God. My Lord, one more time. Yes, He's my Lord. There is no other one who can calm the storms of life like my rest. Amen. Amen. Want to welcome you to the service this afternoon. We're going to open the service in word of prayer. I'm going to ask Brother Ben Pritchard if he could come and open the service in word of prayer and take some needs before the throne. As I mentioned this morning, we've got a lot of folks away. We want to remember Brother Peter. Coffee and family are away. Brother Wayne and Sister Faye are away. The Whitlocks aren't here. Brother David is working and traveling this next week, so we want to remember him in prayer. Brother Jaron, the Browns are not here. Brother Jaron is on call. Brother John and Sister Laura Harwell are on their way back from taking care of John Anthony, dropping him off at college. The Swaffords aren't here. The Stevens are away. Brother John Cockman and Brother Matt Cross are at a funeral. Brother Stephen Coffey is ministering up in Virginia. I want to ask you just to continue to remember my son Ethan. My wife is at home with him. He's still not feeling well, so if you could just continue to remember him in prayer as well. If you have any unspoken prayer requests, just make it known. An unlimited stand.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this opportunity to come before you tonight, Lord, and worship you and feel your presence here with us tonight, Lord. We pray, God, that you just be with the ones that are not here, Lord, the ones that are traveling. Lord, some are sick. Lord, I can only think of Brother Larry Pruitt. God, may your hand just be upon him just now, Lord. Draw him near to you and let him know that you love him. And God, we know that you are the almighty God that can heal, Lord, and we pray that you would just touch him just now. Lord, there's so many others, I can't remember them all, but God, you do, Lord. I pray that you just be with them. I pray that you be with the minister tonight. God, we want to hear your word and be touched from it. We pray pray that you just be with us throughout the remainder of the service. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
We have heard the message alone, and all is well. Well, there is a place of perfect rest behind that inner veil. So rest, little bride, rest, for all is well. Amen. Let's sing that song. It's like a bird from prison. He set me free. If I say it enough, I'd eventually remember what it was. Well, once like a bird in prison I dwelt, no freedom from my sorrow I felt. Then Jesus came and listened to me, and glory to God will say. Higher ground, amen. Glory to God. Well, I'm homeward bound. He set me free, yes, He set me free. He broke the bond of prison for me, and I'm glory bound by Jesus. Glory to God. To sin and things that confound will not of this world turn me around. Daily I'm working, I'm praying too, and glory to God will I'm going. He set me free, yes, He set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. Glory bound, my Jesus, sing. Glory to God, He set me free.
Brother Keith is going to come to sing for us, a special. And while he's getting ready to come, let's sing that chorus one more time.
He set me free, yes, He set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. I'm glory bound by Jesus to see. Glory to God, He set me free.
You may have your seats, Brother Keith.
I had went over and visited with Brother Larry a couple of weeks ago, and any of you that know Brother Larry knows that there's two things he loves. He loves coming to church, and he loves old Southern gospel music and old style piano. And he had asked me to sing this song for him over there, and I just like to sing this for him this evening because I know he's streaming.
The holy hills of heaven call me to mansions bright across the sea, where loved ones wait and crowns are given. clay is but a prison, bars of gold hold my soul, but the doors of clay are gonna burst wide open when the angels say, take my flight like a mighty eagle when those hills of hope start calling me. I see loved ones over yonder, tears are gone and hearts are free, and from the throne my Savior beckons. Oh, those hills of hope,
sing, I have found a friend in Jesus. He's everything to me. He's a lily of the valley. Amen. Do we know that? I hope. It's an old one. I hope we know it. I have found a friend in Jesus. He's everything to me. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. The lily of the valley. In him alone I see all I need to. In sorrow, he's my comfort. In trouble, he's my stay. He tells me every care on him to roll. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. He all my grief has taken and all my sorrows won. In temptation, strong and mighty tower. I have all for him forsaken and all my idols torn from my heart, and now he keeps me by his power. Where though all the world forsake me and Satan tempt me sore, through Jesus I shall safely reach the goal. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. I like this verse. He'll never, never leave me. nor yet forsake me here. While I live by faith and I do His blessed will. Oh, a wall of fire about me, I've nothing now to fear. With His manna, He my hungry soul shall fear. Well, in sweeping up to glory, we'll see His blessed face, where rivers of delight shall ever roll. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. I have found a friend in Jesus. He's everything to me. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. The lily of the valley, in Him alone I see all I need to cleanse, make me fully whole. Well, in sorrow He's my comfort, in trouble He's my stay. He tells me every care on Him to roll. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of to my soul. Amen. Let's stand. We're going to ask our ushers to come at this time. Take up the evening offering. Brother Jeff, if you could ask the blessing on the offering. Amen. Let's sing I Pledge Allegiance to the Lamb. With all my strength, with all I am. Amen. I have heard how Christians long ago were brought before a tyrant's throne. They were told that He would spare their lives if they would renounce the name of Christ. But one by one, oh, they chose to die. The Son of God they would not deny. Like a great angelic choir sings, I can only hear their voices ring. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. With all my strength, with all that I am, I will seek to honor His commands. I pledge allegiance. The years have come and the years have gone, but the cause of Jesus still goes on. Now our time has come to count the cost, to reject this world, to embrace the cross. So one by one, let us leave our lives for the one who died, amen, to give us life, till the trumpet sounds on that final day. Let us proudly stand and boldly say, I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. With all my honor His commands, I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. One more time, I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. With all my strength, Amen. I really enjoyed that a few weeks ago when we had Brother Barry lead us in Pledge Allegiance to the flag. But our allegiance isn't to anywhere on this planet. Amen. It's just to the Lamb. Amen. Let's sing We Are the Generation just before Brother Barry comes. We are the generation. We're the culmination, the final voice the world will hear. The coming of the Lord is near, living out the revelation, overcoming sin's temptation, final proof to every tongue and nation. Yes, we are the chosen generation. One more time.
We're the culmination, the final voice the world will hear. Coming of the Lord is near, living out the revelation, overcoming sin's temptation. The truth will go every tongue and nation.
For a moment, we're going to invite Brother Roel to come out and take the service. And I'm just always honored to have him and Sister Soriano with us when they come and visit in the country. They have been here for a while now and traveling a lot. And so he's been kept pretty busy over the last month and a half, about that, and traveled a lot, ministered a lot, and been in lots of different places. And so we appreciate that very much. Brother Roel does not only travel to the United States once a year, but also is used a lot in the Philippines and travels around in that part of the world as well. And traveling and ministering in that part of the world is not quite even as easy as what it is here. And so we appreciate his labors, and doesn't have the strongest heart, but he has a good heart and really loves God's people. And so we appreciate that very much about him. And it's been a pleasure for several years now to go down and help with the Winter Youth Retreat there, the Filipino retreat, and been a blessing to get to know the kids down there. And young professionals is what they call themselves, young professionals. And it's been a blessing to be there with them over the last number of years. So we want to make them feel welcome tonight. I told them it's Sunday night, and we know what that means, right? When it's Sunday night. Sunday night means that it's Sunday night. It's not Monday night. It's not Saturday night. It's Sunday night. And so we need to pray away our weariness and tiredness and just jump right in with both feet, put our feet under the table, and just draw from the minister what we have need of. And God always has something good to say. So I wonder, can we sing that little chorus, Jehovah Jireh? And we'll invite Brother Roel to come on if you want to pursue him there. Let's stand to our feet and let's sing that tonight, Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah. My
afternoon in the name of the Lord. I bring greetings from my church in the Philippines. I bring greetings from my church in the Philippines, and I'm happy to be with you again for service. My wife here with me, and we're happy to work together with Brother Barry, although we understand that we're going to miss him this year. Because every year for the past 4 years, they've been coming to our country and holding the youth retreat with Brother Paul LaFontaine. But I don't think it's going to make it this year, but that's all right. We forgive you.
Appreciate
that. Amen. But we love Brother Barry in the Philippines. And we just love the way that he carries the word, you know. Young and old, he just has a way with him to get the interest of the people. You know, and we just love his ministry. and we're grateful to be here. Well, Brother Barry said this is a Sunday night and we need to be out of here quick. Well, so I just thought that it's best that I put my presentation on the screen. It will help me a lot, so I don't have to explain a lot too much, you know, but just show you what the Lord has given me, my way of understanding it, the message of the hour. I'm going to speak about the theophany, our theophany. Is that okay? Our theophany.
Amen.
This is just a Bible study of what the Bible says about it and what the message tells us about our theophany. Okay? Our theophany, which is our glorious body. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. Very familiar verse. Oh, just use this, okay. Bible said, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. I think about the word tabernacle, the words tabernacle and house here, and I look at the Greek form of it. The word house is translated from the word oikiterion, which means a house or habitation. It is a dwelling place, a habitation of the body as a dwelling place for the spirit. Theophany is derived from basically from two words, theos and phanes, which means God's body or God's form. Okay, we'll let you be seated. We'll just pray. Father, we ask that you come in our midst. We come humbly before you, Lord, and we ask that you send the anointing, Lord, both to the speaker and the hearer alike. And may we have a precious time of worship together as we rejoice in the hearing of the word. We thank you, Lord, and we ask that you reach out to the needs of the people, for there are many. In Jesus' wonderful name, we pray. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. We'll read some of the things Brother Branham said about theophany in the book of Hebrews. This is what he said. He said, in the beginning, God was a spirit, and all the fountain of goodness and mercy and power and all the good things of love, God was in the center of this fountain. And then the logos that went out of God in the beginning become what we would call a theophany. So in the beginning, God had no form, and then the theophany came out of God, you know, and he was the center of all that fountain. And then the logos went out of God in the beginning become what we would call a theophany or a supernatural body. God is just like not the air, but he is a body. Moses seen him pass, and it looked like a back part of a man. You see, God is not like the air. He has a body. And then that same theophany was made flesh and dwelled among us. And we beheld him, the only begotten of the Father, Christ. And now the Logos that went out of God, which was the Logos, all this began to form into a body shape. And this body shape was called, in the scholar's teaching, the Logos. The Logos that went out of God. Are you with me so far? In other words, a better word for it was that what we call a theophany. So there you go. The what we call the Logos is the same as the theophany. The Bible says it's just a better word for it. It's theophany. Theophany is a human body that's glorified. Not exactly with flesh and blood like it would be in its glorified stage, but it is of a form of a human body that doesn't eat, neither does it drink, but it's a body. A body that's waiting for us as we live this one. The house that was being that Paul was talking about was this house, this temporary house. So we now dwell in this house, but this is just temporary. But there's a body waiting for us as soon as we leave this one. We move to a different house or a different body as long as we leave this one. Now in here, we enter into that body, and that's the kind of body that God was. For he said, "Let us make man in our own image and likeness." In the beginning was the same. He was the great spirit fountain where all trueness and all the love, all the peace, everything that was pure is in this fountain. It's begin to form a body, a theophany. The kind of body that we go to. Not a glorified body, but an angelic body-like shape and form. Now, we understand that all predestinated seed have a theophany. We have spiritual body. We'll call it the spiritual body because this is the physical. But we have one waiting for us, eternal in the heavens. And we all have that. And Peter has it. Peter had it. That's why in the book of Acts, you know, Peter was arrested during the time of persecution. And James had been killed. And now Peter was next. So he has been arrested. And so the saints, they began to hold a prayer meeting in a certain believer's house. And I can imagine them, you know, praying hard to the Lord about Peter's deliverance. Deliver him. Set him free. Don't let him die in the hands of Herod. And God performs an outstanding miracle, as you all know. And Peter was freed from jail. And he was now at the gate of this house where they were holding the prayer meeting. And he was calling out. And a young girl heard his voice. And we will read from Acts chapter 12, verse 14. When she knew Peter's voice, he heard it, recognized that it was Peter's voice, then he opened not the gate for gladness. He was so happy. Can you imagine? They were just praying, and here comes Peter at the gate, asking to be let in. So she did not bother to look at Peter, but what she did, she ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. The Lord, he's probably saying, the Lord has answered our prayer. Praise the Lord. Peter is at the gate. Hallelujah. And then you would think that they would rejoice. You know, they would be very happy about it because their prayers have been answered. But they said unto her, thou art mad. They couldn't believe her. But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. That's Peter. I know his voice. That's him. And well, then they said, it must be his angel. It's not Peter. It's his angel. It's not Peter on the gate, but it's his angel. You see, the Jewish people, they have a concept of what the theophany is, you know. They knew that people have angels, and the angels look like him. Am I making sense? Okay. Let's talk about Peter's angel. Some people take this to mean guardian angel. You know, as a boy, I was, I think, 1 year old, and I was playing at the second floor window of our house, ancestral house, back in the province. And I was reaching out, reaching for a flower on a pot, when the wooden frame that held the pot gave in and fell, and I fell with it. I fell to the ground with it. I fell on a concrete pavement 15 feet above, you know. And I was laying there unconscious, and so all of our neighbors thought that I died in that accident, you know. But my grandpa, he was babysitting me at that time. He took me on a horse cart to the hospital. But on the way to the hospital, I came too. But then my grandpa wanted to be sure because, you know, it was a big fall. You know, I was only 1 year old, and so he had me checked by the doctor. And that time you had to wait a day or two before you can get the X-ray results. But my grandpa, he wanted it right now. You know, he wanted to know the result. So he waited for the result, and when the results came, the doctor told my grandpa, "Well, Mr. Soriano, this grandchild of yours, you'll have grandchildren from her by him. You will have grandchildren by him. He's perfectly all right. Nothing is wrong with him. He checked the X-ray, and nothing was wrong with me." And people were saying, "My guardian angel saved me." You know, we hear a lot of stories about guardian angels saving people. Well, I truly believe that I have the seed of God in me. And God elected me, and God was the one who protected my life. He saved me from that accident. Hallelujah. People call it the guardian angel. In the Bible, Peter had an angel that looked like him. The angel had a form, and it looked like him. Looked like Peter. The Jews had this concept of people having angels. People have angels that look like them. These are supernatural bodies in which souls of the saved go to in death. Theophanies are commonly mistaken for ghosts. See, you hear a lot of ghost stories where people that died, you know, were seen by their relatives, and they think it's the ghost. Well, it's actually theophanies. Brother Branham told of a story where a man was had an accident, you know, many years ago, and a woman hit a old man in that field, and she saw him as he was hit by the car, and she saw the body of the man, you know, thrown out in the field, but when she looked for the man, it wasn't there. Brother Branham said it was the theophany of that man. You know, it looked exactly like him, because people have theophanies that look exactly like them. Our angels. We have angels. Each of us have angels. Matthew chapter 18, verse 10. Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones, believers. For I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. Brother Manum calls it our representation in heaven. That's our theophany. Our representation in heaven. Our bodies are here. We are here in Hickory, North Carolina. But we are actually represented in heaven. Something represents us in heaven. It's another form of us. But it looks like us. You know, it's a body, but Brother Manum calls it a spiritual body. Supernatural body. Are you still with me? In the message, Jehovah Jireh, he said, and now we notice, no matter what the others done, how they walked away, those disciples were predestinated. They were ordained to eternal life. They couldn't explain it, but there was something in them. That representation in heaven, a thought that God had of them before the foundation of the world, had manifested itself here, and they were connected with God. So see, this representation, this theophany, is our connection with God. We are connected with God. That's why we may not be able to understand everything, but something inside of us tells us that it's the truth. We came to this message not trying to ask a lot of questions, not trying to investigate, but right away we believe it. We may not be able to explain it, but we believe it's the truth. And we're sure that was God's promise vindicated. And nothing's going to change it from them. That's the real, genuine Christianity. There are true Christians that lay a hold of God, and you can never persuade them otherwise. They believe the Word. Hallelujah. They believe the Logos. The Logos is the Word. You know, when we read John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, the original Word. For the word "Word" there is Logos. In the beginning was the Logos. Hallelujah. So we can believe the Logos because we are part of that Logos. Hallelujah. Identified Christ of all ages, 1964. He said, look at this woman. Brother Branham was making the illustration now of a person that has a representation or theophany in heaven and people that don't have it. He said, this woman, she had fallen from God's thoughts. She could be, she could be redeemed. So there are people that come from God's thoughts, they fall from God's thoughts, and they could be redeemed. Other people don't come from God's thoughts, so they cannot be redeemed. Hallelujah. She had representation in heaven. She turned around, look at the difference between her and the preachers, them preachers or priests. Them preachers, when they saw it, they saw the Lord Jesus, they say, why? This man is a fortune teller. That's what they thought of him. That's what their perception was. He was a fortune teller. Why? Because they didn't know the Word. They didn't have that representation or theophanies in heaven. Hallelujah. Let's talk about the angel of the Lord. The Jewish concept. The Jewish people, they have a concept of the angel of the Lord. The Lord has an angel that looks like him. It's a supernatural body where he lives in. And from time to time, he manifests himself through this body, in the form of this body. Theologians define it, theophany, as a temporary manifestation of God. And I disagree with their definition, because the Bible tells us that this body is eternal. Eternal cannot be temporary. But Brother Mam said it has the ability to appear or disappear. Maybe that's why they call it temporary. Because theophany is something eternal. Let's go back to the beginning. Genesis chapter 3, verse 8. And they heard the voice of God, Lord God, walking in the garden. Since when did you hear a voice walking? Now, this voice is walking. They heard it walking in the garden. Meaning, the voice has legs and feet. The voice has a form. Amen. They heard the voice of God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. So they saw a form. They heard it. They saw it. And they could hide from it. It's a form. We're talking about the form of God. You know, God is not the air. He is not formless. He has a form. He has a body. Exodus chapter 33, verse 22 to 23. Moses saw the back part of a man. And it came to pass, while my glory passed by, that I will put thee in a cleft of the rock, and I will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away my hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. So Moses wanted to see God, and this God allowed him to see the back part of a man. Like, you see my back parts? That's what Moses saw. Hallelujah. And Gideon saw a form. He saw the angel of the Lord. Judges 6, verse 12 and 22. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And when Gideon perceived that he was the angel of the Lord, Gideon said, watch, alas, O God, for because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face. He thought he was dying. He was going to die. Hallelujah. But the Lord preserved him. And he saw a form of an angel. He called it the angel of the Lord. And this angelic body or supernatural body can be held. Jacob actually wrestled with God. In Genesis chapter 32, we see that in this wrestling match, Jacob was so strong, he got so desperate that he would not let go of God unless he blesses him. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. It was a long wrestling match. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint. And he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go. Now the angel was saying this to Jacob. He took a hold of his thigh, and he would not let him go. And then he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. Hallelujah. So in this wrestling match, Jacob won. God tapped out on Jacob. Hallelujah. And he got this blessing. Amen? Let's talk about the mighty angel. Mighty angel of Revelation 10:1. This angel is no ordinary angel. It is the Lord himself. I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot on the earth. This mighty angel was none other than the Lord Jesus Christ, according to the message. Now, in Bible terminology, every time you read the expression, the angel of the Lord, it actually means the very person of the Lord or the Lord himself. God expressing himself in a supernatural form. A form that can be seen, can be touched. And it's not Gabriel, it's not any of the angels, but it's the Lord himself. The Lord dwelling in a body. Hallelujah. That's why we can say he is here. Amen. 1963, something descended from heaven. And as we gather here together tonight in this tabernacle, in this temple, we know that he is here. We can say he is here. He is present. The Lord Jesus is present. He said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, I will be there in your midst. We are waiting for his glorified body to come, but his theophany has already descended to earth to open the seals. We're waiting for his coming, right? But his theophany, the word, his word body, has already descended to earth to open the seals. Because somebody has to open the seals. And he's the only one that can do it. He's the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Hallelujah. Let's talk about this angel of Exodus. Exodus chapter 23, verse 20. Behold, God was speaking to Moses. He said, I sent an angel before thee to keep thee in the way and to bring thee in a place which I have prepared. And that angel would appear as a pillar of fire by night, and a pillar of cloud by day. Hallelujah. And the root of this word angel was taken from the Hebrew malak or malak, which means a messenger or representative. God's representative. A messenger, an angel, or a theophanic angel. You can see in verse 21, it becomes clearer who this angel is. Because God told Moses, beware of this angel, beware of him. And obey his voice. Provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgressions. For my name is in him. So little by little, slowly, we're beginning to understand who this angel was. God put his name in him. And then it says, it will not pardon your transgression. If you transgress against it, it will not pardon your transgression. If thou shalt indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy unto all thine enemies and an adversary unto thine adversaries, meaning I will bless you if you obey my voice. I will bless you. I will be an enemy to your enemy, and I will bless you. Hallelujah. Now, who is this angel? Only God can forgive sins. Is this right? Only God can forgive sins. Who else can forgive sins? In Luke chapter 7, verse 48 and 49. Jesus, he said unto this woman, thy sins are forgiven. And when they heard that, and they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins also? You see, they must have a concept of God capable or with ability to forgive sins. He's the only one. that we know that can forgive sins. But this man is forgiving this woman's sins. Who is this that can forgive sins also? Of course, they don't have the revelation that he's God made flesh. God in the flesh. Hallelujah. God in the form of a human being. Hallelujah. That's why he could forgive sins, because he's God. Amen. Jesus could forgive sins because he is God. Mark chapter 2 verse 7. Why does this man thus speak blasphemies? They think he was blaspheming because he was forgiving sins. Who can forgive sins but God only? You see, it's been established in their minds that only God can forgive sins, and this angel can forgive sins. Hallelujah. So put two and two together, the angel of the Lord must be God. God manifesting himself in a certain form or a certain body. Look at the angel that led Eliezer. You know, it's supernatural how that Eliezer was able to identify the future bride for Isaac. Sure. Hallelujah. Because the angel guided and gave him inspiration. He showed him the way. And he pointed exactly to him who the bride of Isaac would be. Verse 7 of chapter 24 says, "The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, which spake unto me and swear unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land. He shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence." You see? This was Jacob's God, Abraham's God. You're saying, this God will send his angel before thee. It's actually the angel that will identify the bride for Isaac. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. So the angel of the Lord is nothing but the Lord himself. God manifesting himself in a certain body. God in a theophany. In a body called theophany. In Revelation 5:5, we read here that one of the elders said unto me, John, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. Because John was weeping, nobody was found worthy to open the book, and he was weeping. So this one of the elders talked to him. He spoke and said, "Don't weep, John, because someone has prevailed to open the book. The Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the book and loose the seven seals thereof." So theophany is the Logos, or the Word. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word. Every time you read the word "word," it actually was translated from the word "logos." In the beginning was the Logos, and the Logos was God, and the Logos was with God, and the Logos was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was anything made that was made. Hallelujah. Okay. Brother Branham called the Lord Jesus the King Theophany. Now, since he has come in the flesh and received his body up, Revelation 21, verse 16, he is called the King of Kings. He is all three of them together. See? King God, King Theophany, King Jesus. That's the King of Kings. It's all met, just like soul, body, and spirit. It all comes together to make one. Hallelujah. Well, let me just make an illustration. Say this paper here is what we call the theophany. For example, this is the King Theophany, Jesus, the Logos that came out from God. Amen. In which God dwelt in. God is in His Word, the Logos. So imagine me if there are probably 30 or 40 people in this church, and I divide this paper into 30 pieces and give you each one piece. Okay? That will represent your theophany. So that the 30 pieces, when they come together, it will form the theophany, the King Theophany. Are you getting me? Jesus is the King Theophany. And within the King Theophany are many theophanies. Amen. And that's you and me. That's God's predestinated seed. God has reserved one theophany for you, for each of us, where we will move into after death or in death. Hallelujah. That's why it's called King Theophany. But our theophanies are in the King Theophany. In John chapter 20, verse 2, I said here, nameless, because John represents the bride of Jesus Christ, you know. Sure. And the bride of Jesus Christ is humble. But a man says, he was asked the question, will there be a ministry that we are going to fulfill before the rapture takes place? But a man says, that is what is going on right now. He names the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastors, and teachers. Amen. He said, sure, there is a ministry that we can fulfill. And that's the message of the hour. And Brother Bram said, it will be so humble. It will be a humble ministry. Hallelujah. So the bride of Christ is going to be a humble ministry. The ministry of the bride of Christ and the ministry of Christ, Brother Benham said, is the same. It will be identical. The ministry of Christ and the ministry of the bride. But the bride will always be nameless, meaning the bride doesn't advertise herself. Amen. And doesn't try to make herself big. Any God-given ministry will not try to make itself big and try to lift himself up and advertise himself, what he's doing for the Lord. John chapter 20, verse 2. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and said unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Now, this gospel was written by St. John. It would have been so much easier for St. John to say, then I came to Simon Peter to Peter, Simon Peter, and to me, instead of saying, and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved. He could have easily said, then she runneth and he came to Simon and to me, because he wrote it. He wrote the book of John, but he doesn't want to mention his own name. Think of it. This is the character of the bride of Christ. You know, not wanting himself to be seen, to be lifted up. He wants all the glory given to the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 7, it says, therefore, the disciple that whom Jesus loved, he does it again. The disciple that whom Jesus loved said unto Peter. Why didn't he say, John said to Peter? It would have been more understandable to us. But then he said, he took the pain to say, the disciple whom Jesus loved said unto Peter, it is the Lord. He means himself. The disciple whom Jesus loved was John. But he did not name himself. But he wanted to remain anonymous. It is the Lord. Now, when Simon Peter heard it, it was the Lord. He girt his fisher's coat into him, for he was naked, and he did cast himself into the sea. Now my point is, John writes a book and he doesn't even want to mention his own name in the book. I think of some of the message believers, mostly preachers, they write a book and you see their names are printed bigger than the name of Brother Branham, bigger than the name of Jesus. I don't think that's the character of the bride. That's not what John did. Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved. He did it again. The disciple whom Jesus loved, following which also leaned on his breast at supper and said, Lord, which is it that betrayed thee? He doesn't name it. He doesn't name him. Well, here's the mystery. You hear from your theophany, who is Melchizedek? Then after you recognize the very word of God was eagle food, then you left the other thing. You've then been formed into the living image of the living God. You heard from your theophany. If this earthly body shall be dissolved, we have one waiting. Why are we here today? Because we heard something. We heard a message. What is that message? It's the anointed word of the hour. What is that message? It's the Logos we've been talking about. But this has been anointed especially for this age. And God anointed people especially in this age. He has elected people and anointed them so they can comprehend the message of this day. Hallelujah. That's the reason we're here. Because we heard from our theophany. What did we hear? We heard the message. And what's the message? It's the anointed word of the hour. The message is the word. The message is Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. But we heard it. And we responded. And we believed it right away. Hallelujah. Why? It's our theophany speaking to us. Our theophanies make up the King Theophany, remember? It's just like the day of Pentecost when that pillar of fire came down from heaven and it divided itself into many tongues of fire among the believers, 120 of them. One great pillar of fire divided into 120 pieces, 120 tongues of fire. Hallelujah. So each one of them had a tongue of fire. But that tongue of fire came from one big pillar of fire. Hallelujah. And if you, Brother Bam says, if your little lick of fire joined in with my little lick of fire, will form the pillar of fire. Yeah. Good. Amen. King Theophany is made up of small theophanies. And joined up together, we'll make up the King Theophany. We'll make up the theophany of God. The theophany is God's Word. The Logos. Hallelujah. So, Brother Bram said, you actually heard from your theophany. Now the question was, who was that elder that spoke to John? It said, weep not, John, because the lion of the tribe of Judah has prevailed. Who was it? Nameless, right? Nameless again. Who wrote the book of Revelation? It was John again. John the Revelator wrote the book of Revelation. The same one that wrote the Gospel of St. John. The same one that kept on saying, kept on repeating, the disciple whom Jesus loved. He could have said, John or myself, but he always saying, the disciple whom Jesus loved. He was low-key. Now, Revelation chapter 4, Brother Branham says this, talking about the 24 elders. How many was they? They were 24. 24 elders, that's right. Now, oh my, who was the 12 apostles and the 12 tribes of Israel? The 12 patriarchs. So he said it very clearly. 12 of them were patriarchs. And 12 of them were the 12 apostles. Well, isn't John one of the apostles? John was one of them. Hallelujah. And an elder was speaking to John, don't weep, because the Lion of the Tribe of Judah, he has prevailed to open the book. And the next thing you know, the book was opened, and the mighty angel holds it in his right hand. And when John saw the angel, and when John heard the news that somebody prevailed to open the book, to take the book and break the seals thereof, what happened? John rejoiced and started praising God, saying, thou art worthy to receive honor and glory and riches and glory and honor, hallelujah, because thou hast prevailed to open the book. Thou art worthy to open the book. He's talking about Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. Now, who said it? It was John, one of the elders. And who heard it? Who was given the commission to take the book, the open book from the right hand of the mighty angel? It was John. John was talking to John. John was speaking and John heard it. John heard what was spoken. What is this? You heard from your theophany. Brother Bam said, you hear from your theophany. That's why you received this message, is because you heard from your theophany. That's part of the word. That's you being part of the word, and you heard it. You cannot never deny it. How can you deny yourself? Amen. Hallelujah. Oh my. So who was that elder? It was John. Hallelujah. Now, Brother Man said that we bypass our theophany. This is a hard one. Now, the difference between him and you as a son, he was at the beginning the Word and Morphe, body. He came in and lived in that person of Melchizedek. And then later, we never heard of no more of Melchizedek because he became Jesus Christ. Melchizedek was the priest, but he became Jesus Christ. Let's continue what the prophet was saying. Now, you bypass that. You bypass that, that theophany. Because in that form, he knowed all things, and you have never been able to know that yet. You come like Adam and like me. You became from attribute to the flesh to be tempted. Hallelujah. But Jesus came from attribute to theophany to flesh. This is God's attribute. Hallelujah. And this is his theophany. His theophany. Amen. So out of God came out the Logos. Out of God came out the Logos. Amen. And God dwelt in that Logos. Now you see, you cannot separate the two. Because the Logos and God are one. The Logos is nothing but a manifestation of God. Hallelujah. The eternal body of God. God dwells in this eternal body. And the Bible said the Word, Logos, became flesh. He was manifested in the flesh. And here's the flesh. Now let's repeat it. Attribute, Logos. The attribute came into Logos, and the Logos produced this body, fleshly, physical body, and God was manifested and dwelt in this flesh. Hallelujah. It's so clear. To me, it's so clear. There's no question about it. Attribute to theophany to human flesh. Now, Brother Branham was making the distinction. Now, you bypass that. Hallelujah. We bypass the theophany. Here's the theophany, right? And this is the attribute of God. And we came from attribute and we bypassed the theophany. We didn't go through this theophany, but we bypassed it and came into flesh directly. Okay? So this is the theophany, but you came directly from attribute to flesh. Now you live on earth in this form here, not knowing everything. Let's continue with the reading. You come like Adam, like me, you became from attribute to flesh to be tempted. But when this life is finished here, if this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, we have one that is already waiting. That's where we go. That is the Word. But Branham says it very plainly. When we can look back and see what we have done, we don't understand it. We have never become the Word. We just become the flesh man, not the Word. You see, this is what spells the difference. And look clearly. Makes it clear you will never be the Word unless you was a thought at the beginning. That proves the predestination of God. See, you cannot be the Word unless you're a thought. First has to be a thought of God before you can be Word. And you cannot be the Word unless you're a thought. You had to be in the thinking first, but you see, in order to stand temptation, you had to bypass the theophany. You had to come down here in flesh to be tempted by sin. Hallelujah. All that the Father has given me will come to me, and I'll raise him up at the last day. See, you had to be first. You had to be there first before he can choose you. Before the foundation of the world, his name is put on the Lamb's book of life. Then from that, he became the Word, the theophany, that he could appear, that could appear or disappear. And then he become flesh and returned back again, resurrected that same body in a glorified condition. But you bypassed the theophany and became flesh man to be tempted by sin. He explains it explicitly in who is this Melchizedek? He talks about this at length. And then, if this earthly tabernacle is dissolved, we have one already waiting. We have not yet the bodies. But look, when this body receives the Spirit of God, the immortal life inside of you, it throws this body in subjection to God. Yes, hallelujah. Amen. It talks about the body receiving the Spirit of God, the immortal life inside of you. Then it throws this body in subjection to God. So, what's the difference between Jesus and us? Jesus Christ came from being an attribute, a soul, to theophany, to human flesh. Let me do that again. He came from being an attribute to theophany, to flesh. Okay? Clear? Jesus came from being attribute soul to theophany to human flesh. But Adam and the believer came from being an attribute, which is the soul, to human flesh. Amen. Directly to human flesh, because Bertram says we bypass our theophany. Because in that form, we will know all things. That's the reason why Jesus knew all things. You could not trick Jesus. He knew everything that was happening. Hallelujah. Because he did not bypass his theophany. He came through that theophany form. And they both came in a body of flesh to be tempted by sin. Jesus was tempted by sin. We came and was tempted by sin. Adam came and was tempted by sin. The same that we were tempted by sin. Hallelujah. What's the difference? The difference, Jesus, because he knows all things, he overcame. Amen? He overcame. Jesus Christ overcame. How did he overcome? By the word. Because he did not bypass his theophany. How did he overcome? By his theophany. Adam, with his limited knowledge, fell. We too fell. Am I right? But we have always felt a tug inside that calls us to a better life. Jesus did not bypass his theophany. But we, on the other hand, bypass our theophany. We'll go through this quickly. I'm finishing. But we have a tug within us. That's our connection, our soul's connection with the Word, with God. It's what's tugging within us. Oh, he done had something moving in his heart. If you ever get it moving in your heart, you won't care who tries to stop you. That's right. If God begins to tug at that heart and you begin to move with that tug, there ain't nothing in the world that's in hell that's going to hold you down. You are going anyhow. Amen. Hallelujah. And Brother Branham makes the altar call. And he was talking about this tug. He said, all the Father that's given me will come to me. No man can come to me except my Father draws him. So there you are. Do you feel, he said, do you feel a tug at your heart? I am asking you as a Christian brother. If it is, then raise your hand, raise to your feet and say, I want you to pray for me, Brother Branham. He was talking about this tug. This tug is your connection with God. Hallelujah. And not everybody has the tug in him. That's why you can preach all you want to some people and it doesn't affect them. It's like pouring water, Brother Ram said, on a duck's back. Hallelujah. You pour water on a duck's back, the water just bounces off the back. No effects. Hallelujah. Why? Because they had no representation in heaven. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Because your soul is connected with your theophany. Your soul is yearning. You are not in your right place. You are groaning and waiting for the redemption of your body. We are not satisfied in this flesh. Even though we probably have fulfilled our dreams, you know, we achieved so many things in this life, and yet we're groaning for something better. We are not in our right body. We are yearning for something. We're groaning and waiting for the redemption of our body. There's going to be a redemption of our body. Our body will be changed. Hallelujah. God promised us a body change. Hallelujah. What a promise. What an absolute promise that is to believe Christ, to have my heart say amen to every word in the book. Hallelujah. You are able to say amen to every word in the book because you are part of that word. Hallelujah. You've got to be born, regenerated, baptized with the Holy Ghost into Jesus Christ, quickened to every word. Your spirit in you will punctuate every amen to every word of the Bible. Hallelujah. Christ in you. And it's Christ that God looks at, and not you. It's Christ. So if there's no fault in him, how can there be fault? How can there be fault in you? How can he find fault when you're dead in your own life and is hid in Christ through God, sealed in there by the Holy Ghost? Amen. They that are born of God does not commit sin, for he cannot sin. How can he sin when a perfect sacrifice is laying in his place? God never looks at me. He looks at Christ because we are in Christ. Life on here on earth, and we're moving about on this earth, and we fail and we make mistakes. But God does not look at our mistakes. He doesn't see us. Because he sees, what he sees is our representation in heaven. Something has been offered already, a sinless sacrifice. And this is what God is looking at. This Theophany never did sin. This has committed sin, but this has never did sin.
Yeah.
And how can it sin when it's a part of God?
Yeah.
It has never did sin. Hallelujah. So praise God. What a consolation that tonight God is looking at Christ, not at our mistakes, but at Christ, which is the Word. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. He cannot lose me. Now, if I love Christ, I live with Him. He'd never brought me in, lest He know. If God saved me today, knowing that He was going to lose me 6 weeks from today, He's defeating His own purpose. Right? He don't even know the future then. If He saved me knowing what he wants to save me for, knowing that He's going to lose me. God doesn't do things and then take it back and too weak to keep His promise. God is not an Indian giver. Hallelujah. When He saved you, it is for time and eternity. Hallelujah. And He's going to redeem only those that are His. He cannot redeem those that aren't His. You say, well, didn't God create all men? Didn't God create all men? Yes. So, all men must be, God must have thought of all men. Then how can He punish men to earth, to oblivion, and punish men and not save men? And how can He save some and doom some to eternity? How can God do that? Well, God must have thought of them, but they're not part of His thinking. There's a difference. I can think of you, but you're not part of my thought. Hallelujah. Like, everything that we see around us was God's creation because God thought of it and spoke it into existence. Like, for example, He spoke the tree into existence. But is the tree part of Him? It's the same case with people that don't have the seed of God. People that don't have a representation in heaven. Praise God. Well, I'm not worried about them. God knows what to do with these people. But I'm thankful that God placed a seed in me that can respond to His Word. Hallelujah. Amen. That can punctuate the Word of God with amen. Hallelujah. You and God. And you, the way you look, or who you are, or what you are, what your name is, and what God's thinking before the foundation of the world. And Jesus came not to save the whole thing. No. He wanted to, but He come to redeem. Bring back them that was in His thoughts before the beginning. That's the reason He was the Word made flesh. God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself. The Word, God's thinking of how He would do it. He expressed Himself in Jesus Christ, and it was God becoming material. And the fleshly body is subject to theophany. You have this physical body, and this, if you have a theophany representation in heaven, this earthly body, this earthly flesh, will be subject completely to that theophany. We are carnal, and that part must perish. This part must perish, our carnality, our carnal bodies. Then inside, we are a spirit man, soul inside, and that's faith in God's Word. Then we bring our outside body under subjection to the Word by faith, by accepting what God said. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And St. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:27, and this is the last verse I'm going to read to you, but I keep under my body and bring it under subjection, lest by any means when I have preached to others, I myself to be a cast away. Hallelujah. Thank God we heard the message of the hour.
Amen.
And we responded to it. We received it. And we testify about it. But be careful when you testify to other people about the message. Because they will look at the message, will look at the word, and look at your life. It must be identical. It must be consistent. Your life must be consistent to your profession, to what you are confessing to believe. Hallelujah. And when you confess to believing the word, then this fleshly body will be submitted completely to the word, authority of the word of God. God bless you. Amen. I hope a little presentation will help you. Thank you for the opportunity, Brother Barry. God bless you.
Praise the Lord. Let's stand on our feet tonight. We have heard. We have heard, and that connects us to that eternal realm. And that's exciting. We might need you right there. That connects us to that eternal realm and lets us know that our names were on the Lamb's Book of Life from before the foundation of the world. I think it's a wonderful thing. And it's something you can't give to somebody else. Right? We hear because we were a part of Him. And God knows them that are His, that's for sure. I wonder, can we sing that chorus? Let's put it in the key of F. And let's sing that little chorus. We are heirs of the Father, joint heirs with the Son. We are heirs of the Father, and we are joint heirs with the Son. We are people of His kingdom. We are family. We are one. Sing it again. Yes, we are heirs of the Father. We are joint heirs with the Son. We are people of His kingdom. We are family. We are one. We shall reign with Him forever. Shout and sing, for dominion has been given to the family of the King. And we are heirs of the Father, we are joint heirs, people of His King. We are family, we are one. It's setting me free, this Holy Ghost power. It's setting me free, this very hour. It's down in my soul, it's making me setting me free this very hour. It's down in my soul. It's making me whole. Setting me free, 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 this Holy Ghost power. I love this family of God. Same key. I love this family of God, so closely knitted into one. They've taken the wrong key. They've taken the wrong key. I love this family of God. You know what that is? That is a good Wednesday night song. That's exactly what that is. Put it back in the key of F there for me. I keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. I keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. Jesus. Oh, what a love between my Lord and I. Falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. I keep falling in love with him over and over and I keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. He just gets sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. Oh, what a love between my Lord and I. I keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again.
Praise the Lord. I love this subject, and I think if your appetite is whetted at all in relation to this subject, this is a great thing to understand. The message, Who Is This Melchizedek, is one of those sermons where Brother Branham is directed to tie together loose ends, and he gives us an understanding of things that other ages never really understood or never knew about. You won't turn on your radio and hear radio preachers dealing with this subject, because it's a bride subject. It is something that is I think, just really exclusive to the bride of Christ and the knowledge that God has given to us. And I'm very thankful for that. We are connected to God. We are linked to Him. And that's just not us this way, but He also connects with us whenever He sent His Word our way. And it lit our soul. It just did something that nothing else could do. We've heard lots of different things in our life, but nothing affects you like when you hear the word of the hour. It just stops you. It changes you. It there's nothing as powerful as that. And I'm so grateful that hearing this message proved my connection to God. And I'm thankful for that. I'm always thankful to hear about how great the theophany is, because it truly is. It truly is. I feel like going on. I feel like going on. Oh, trials come, they come on every hand. I feel like going on. Father, we are so thankful, Lord, that we have heard from another dimension. Two kingdoms that are separated. But yet, Lord, we heard something from one of those kingdoms, Lord, that is distant from this one. Lord, I just know that one day all of your eternal beings that are living on this earth, one day, Lord, will speed up, and you'll slow down, and we'll cross over into that dimension. Father God, our hearts are excited every time we hear the word of the Lord, because it just renews that connection. It renews the fact that something eternal has spoken to us and continues, Lord, to feed that inner man. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for the vitamins that strengthen us. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, for ministry that still continue to bring that word of life to us. I pray now that you would give Brother Soriano, give him rest, give him strength, give him your healing touch, Lord, I pray. And Father, I pray that you would guide him and his precious wife back
the Philippines safely and rested again, Lord. I commit them into your care. Pray that you would guide them and give them strength for the work they do in the Philippines, Lord, in their own assembly. And may, Father, you have your hand upon them. Lord, bless our fellowship together now tonight. Just this little time that we have together, we thank you for it. And ask that you would bless all that we do, Lord. Bless our conversation and our food and all that is before us. We thank you for it. In Jesus' lovely name we pray. Amen. And amen. We have a little snack prepared for everybody. And so we want you to just, if you don't mind, just move right on over. And we'll just spend a little time together. And appreciate Brother and Sister Soriano being with us tonight. And sorry, the church is not full. We got people spread out all over the place. And I don't know if it got mentioned that Stephen is up in Virginia tonight ministering. But we're grateful for all of you that are being here. I look forward to the day when we won't have language restrictions. And we'll be able to talk all the same language over on the other side. I appreciate Brother Soriano preaching in English. His English is a whole lot better than my Filipino. But let me try Filipino in saying this. Pagpilan kanig Dios. God bless you. Like I said, his English is much better than my Filipino. God bless them. God bless all of you. And may the Lord bless you richly through this week. Amen. Sing it as you go tonight. In Jesus' name, we press find.